Welcome to IBBA Insights, providing expert advice on buying or selling small businesses. IBBA Insights is presented by the International Business Brokers Association, the world's largest nonprofit organization for those helping others sell or buy businesses. Now, here's your host, Crest Diglio.
It's my pleasure to be able to talk to you about topics that can help you in your day-to-day business. And today's show is something that affects all of us. We deal with it on a daily basis. We hope we're doing it right, and sometimes we have no idea what we're doing and how much of it we should do. You know, marketing, specifically social media and online marketing, has taken over the business world. It's forever changing and is extremely difficult to keep up with on a day-to-day basis, sometimes on an hour-to-hour basis. And our guest today is going to help us better understand the ins and outs and the do's and don'ts of this type of marketing. We have an expert today, and we're very lucky and fortunate to have him. Jeff Slater is a CLO. A chief listening officer for the Marketing Sage Consultancy. Jeff and his wife built one of Inc. Magazine's fastest growing companies in 1985 called Rachel's Brownies. They got to partner with Ben and Jerry's and have lunch with President Reagan when he came to celebrate small business in Malvern, Pennsylvania. Jeff managed a portfolio of $400 million in snack brands, including two $100 million plus icons, Slim Jim's and David Sunflower Seeds. He worked with Macho Man Randy Savage to help him grow Slim Jims through innovative marketing from traditional commercials to multifaceted promotional campaigns from X Games, Hoop It Up, to NASCAR sponsorships. After a brief stint as VP Marketing at Cheerwine, Jeff worked for global marketing leader for Normacorp, a wine closure company closing billions of bottles of wine. Today, Jeff runs a fractional CMO service for small to mid-sized companies who want strategic leader with counterintuitive marketing skills. He consults with companies under $100 million in revenue. Jeff's marketing superpower is his ability to listen. Jeff, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule and joining us on our show today.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Now, I was just happy that you accepted the invitation because you have a lot that our listening audience is certainly going to gain from. I got to start with CLO. I absolutely love that, you know, chief listening officer. My pastor many years ago, George Pike, once told me that God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. He said we should listen twice as much as we talk.
Well, you know, the smartest people that I have ever worked with were extremely good at listening. And I'd sit in a meeting and I'd always observe that they never spoke when people were talking in the beginning of the conversation. They were listening. Aggressively listening, carefully listening. And I go up to them afterwards and say, why didn't you jump in? Why didn't you say something? And the response was always, you know, I know what I know. I want to learn something and I want to process what people are saying. And when I'm ready to say something, I'll speak. But that doesn't mean just because thoughts are running through my head, I should be speaking. So in the work that I do today and really in most of my career, I've tried to focus on listening and learning and trying to understand what's clearly and deeply behind the conversation somebody is having with me or the meeting that I'm sitting in. So to me, listening is a critically important skill set. And in the consulting work that I do with clients and as a fractional CMO and companies can't afford to hire a full-time marketing person, listening really helps because I learn about the business and I learn the dynamics of how things work, sometimes the politics, sometimes the interaction, market dynamics. I learn all kinds of things. So I'm talking a lot now, but I do like to listen.
You know, we're on a podcast together and we're here to talk. So yeah, one of us is going to have to do it. So, and preferably you. So I'm just going to ask you some questions and we'll just go back and forth. So, you know, you've had a storied career, you've done some really impressive things and you've worked with some iconic clients. You profess not just to be, you know, a marketing expert or in any specific field, but really to get to understand your clients and their needs and get them to understand what type of marketing that they actually need and not just lump them into one area. So why did you choose this business and has it always been a passion of yours?
You know, when I was a young kid, maybe 13, 14 years ago, my grandfather, who was a commercial photographer, his name was George Ginsburg. He put a camera in my hand and he taught me how to take pictures. And we worked together he had been retired at the time, and we took photographs together. We would go to summer camps and do group shots and different types of activities. And I just had a passion for all things creative. And so I had that business that started working with him, and then through college and graduate school where I did commercial photography. And I knew I wanted to be connected to work that was creative. And I knew it was one of the sort of three circles around my life and my passion. And I went to grad school and undergrad focused on communications. And I was just always interested in how people tell stories, how people communicate with each other verbally, non-verbally. And this, of course, all predated the internet, predated social media. And it just always was a something that was a vital part. I mean, if I can't wake up each day and do something in a creative way, I'm not going to enjoy the day. So I like to focus on creativity, but not in the conventional sense of, you know, necessarily doing art, which is what a lot of people think of. Sometimes it's a creative thought about a business model or creative work that I'm doing with clients that is doing something that will be noticed and will be exceptional and will stand out from and differentiated in an important way. Seth Godin, the marketing guru, likes to say that if you want people to remark about you, you have to be remarkable. So I'm always looking for understanding a category and then saying, what would it be like if we were different? What would it be like if we acted more human and not like we were marketing to people, but we were just being ourselves? So I think it's a critical piece of understanding great marketing is really understanding yourself and how you represent yourself to the world.
It's like the old rule of thumb, right? We want to treat people the way we'd want to be treated. And I think in marketing, that's so true. I mean, think about when you go to the furniture store or the car lot, nobody likes that salesperson that's chasing them around, you know, and pressuring them, right? We all want to be treated a certain way, and we all want to present ourselves in a certain way. And I think we lose that a lot of times in business and how we present ourselves, even in a marketing campaign.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in the business, in advising clients all the time, I'm listening to understand what's special and unique about who you are and how you are in the world, and how can that be a part of how you communicate your about your business, about your products and services, so that people want to talk about you. Because, you know, marketing happens when your customer tells their friend about your business. Marketing isn't what you say. That's branding. Marketing is what happens when it's shared, when it's passed along, when there's word of mouth. And there's no more valuable, I mean, you can see it in the way people react today. You're looking for help. People post on Facebook, does anybody know a landscaper? Does anybody know somebody who can help me with this? People rely on their friends or on reviews or on third-party validation to be able to find out about products and services.
I heard a long time ago something that impacted me tremendously. It greatly impacted me. Someone said that if you don't differentiate yourself from your competition, you're going to compete on price. And if you compete on price, nobody wins.
Yeah. I mean, price is only one of the levers by which people make decisions. And more often than not, it's not the most important approach to how people decide things. In fact, very often it's somewhere in the middle. People make decisions for products and services based on relationships, stories. You know, what is the story in your customer's head that they want to tell themselves? You know, what is it that they want to that they need to realize what it is that they're trying to achieve? And so trying to market based on best practices is just foolish. You know, very often when I go into clients, new clients, and talk to them, they'll say, well, we need a new website. Our website's not good anymore. That's what I need your help with. And I like to say, okay, let's just take a couple steps back and tell me where you're trying to go. What would it look like 6 months, a year, 3 years from now if you were successful? And let's think about what it's going to take to do that, what the resources are that you have, and then let's see how all of that, those things align. Because spending $20,000 on a website might be the worst thing you should be doing. It may not make any sense. Your website may be fine. Maybe it needs some refinement, but is that really the best place to use the resources that you have? So to me, the type of work that I like to do with clients is really to be very strategic and to understand what is the strategy that is the common thread across all the different tactical things that you're trying to do. And then let's understand what that looks like. And it might be interesting to share with you just an example from my own business. What I do as I'm a solo practitioner. I go to work with clients who do not have a marketing team, or they have a very small team, and they need somebody who has, 30 plus years of experience in marketing. And so what I do for marketing myself, my strategy is, how can I be helpful and give away as much value as possible as I can? So I write a blog 3 times a week that is free. There's no cost to sign up to get the information. And it's a lot of both strategy and tactics and topics of interest to people. I'm trying to be helpful. And much of my business comes from people who read my posts and who say, I like what you said about this. This really interested me. I want to know more. And a lot of people hold back on giving away things for free. But to me, it's the best way that I can show, I'm selling how I think and how I work with people. And so I want to demonstrate that. And for me, the outlet is in posting a blog, and then reposting it on other social media platforms. I get far more visibility through LinkedIn than I do through my own blog, even though I have posted over 1,000 blogs on my site. The channel of LinkedIn is a really effective place for me to market myself. And my goal is really very simple. It's to be helpful. And when somebody says, we need help with marketing, I just want them to think of me. I want to associate my name and my brand with marketing. And so that daily, weekly, monthly regimen of marketing, what I know, has been an effective tool for me over the last 3 years of running this particular business.
Yeah, Jeff, I employ a very similar strategy. I often thought I could get on all the platforms and tell people how great I am, and they're going to real quickly get tired of hearing that and tune me out. Or you can give them some real good, useful information that could help them, and it's going to be beneficial. So I want to jump into something because I think it's important. A large portion of our listening audience are business brokers, and business brokers market mainly to business owners looking to sell their businesses. Now, they may also want to be in touch with referral sources such as CPAs, attorneys, wealth managers, and bankers. But how can a business broker, how can they determine what is a good social media marketing plan for them?
Well, I think I would step it back before I would use the word social media marketing platform. And I would think about what a strategy of how can I build and develop relationships with the right people. So I think I would start by identifying who are the right people that I want to reach first. Second, I would want to understand, where are those people? How can I connect with those people? The best platform may not be a social media platform. The best platform may be coaching Little League. It may be working in nonprofits and being involved with boards and communities of people where those people who you want to connect with are going to be present. So I think I would start by thinking of, where can I meet those people? How can I get connected to them? And, you know, before I would determine maybe the right platform, I want to know who they are and where they hang out. So let's just take an example that there's a small $3, $4 million manufacturer in your town, and that business is owned by a single individual or family. First of all, does anybody within your network know that person? Could they make an introduction? Could they help you? Second, what can you learn, if anything? Are they on social media? What are they posting about? What is it that's important to them and where they hang out and where they spend their time? I'm not sure if you're familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk, and but Gary is another social media and marketing guru. His parents owned a liquor store in the hometown I grew up in Springfield, New Jersey, called Wine Library. And Gary, about 13 years ago, started doing marketing for his parents that were digital in nature, and grew that business from $3 million to $60 million. And what he did was very basic and simple. When he saw that he had customers that he wanted to be able to build deeper relationships with, he followed them online. He watched what they did, what they were interested in. And one of the clients who was buying a lot of product from him, he found out that he liked a certain athlete, and he got him an autographed signed shirt and sent it to him as a gift. So by listening, by learning, by observing, what is the behavior of those people that you want to reach? And I think the fallacy of going too quickly into social media marketing is that you're trying to scale everything. And I think this approach is really more of a slow one-on-one kind of build. How do you identify a group of people? So to take accountants, for example, could you speak in front of a group of accountants who are meeting? Could you be invited to some charity event that they're sponsoring and get involved that way? So first and foremost, how can you get close to them, meet them, connect with them in our protein forms, in the human forms, before you try and then go on to social media to promote and communicate about yourself? In most cases, you know, LinkedIn being more of a business environment and community where people are thinking about business, you know, would be the kind of best practices approach to how to market yourself. But maybe that's not, you know, if your target audience are people 30 and under who own businesses in your community, they may be far more involved in other places like Instagram, and that may be a much smarter approach. And it may be that, you know, there's not a single location where you need to be, because accountants may not be on Instagram, but people under 30 may be there, and those who own businesses who you're trying to target, that may be a way of connecting with them. So I think I like to start by understanding who are the individuals you want to reach? What do they do? What is their life like? How can you get to them and meet them? And is it, you know, maybe once you do build a relationship with several, let's call them accountants as an example, they may introduce you to other people that they know, and you can start to gain access through a group of people who are willing to make introductions to you.
So I think it's important that, and what you're saying is, people come up with a unique plan that works for them and targets the audience that they're looking for. Too often, they Google a social media, local social media person, they call them up, and that individual wants to charge them $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 a month. And for that, you get this many blogs and this many of that, and they're going to do that. And then they just pigeonhole you or put you into the same box as everyone else, which may or may not be effective. But, you know, so I really want to touch on this because I think it's important. When I started in business brokerage 20 years ago, if a potential client called me, right, they wanted to get to know me. They called me to get to know me, to set up a meeting, and then they would ultimately decide if they were going to do business with me. Today, it's the complete opposite. If they call me today, they've already looked me up online. They've Googled. They know about me, who I am, what I do. So they've been on my website, LinkedIn, other platforms. And they've, if they've called me, they've made the decision that I'm worthy of a meeting. So please share your thoughts on the importance of a strong web presence and even LinkedIn, which is basically your online resume.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that most people do is they want to know who is that person and what can I learn about them online? So how do you have the most honest, authentic, and frank presentation of who you are and what you're about? So having clear information on a LinkedIn site or having a very simple and basic website are just the default places that people are going to go to learn about you. But let me give you an example of another thought or approach that might be of interest as a way to do something different. Imagine that you've identified 25 business owners who are in your community, and they're people who you feel could be, that you'd like to get to know, you think you could help them. Maybe they're not thinking of selling their business today. Maybe it's 4 or 5 years from now, but you want to build a relationship. Imagine finding a book that's just something you really love, that's a book that speaks to the importance of values, the importance of understanding yourself and your work, something that you feel that is a great representation of who you are. And then imagine sending a copy of that book to 25 different people, business owners, and say, this is a gift from me to you. I would love, if you're interested, to take you out to lunch to learn and hear more about you and see if you're interested in chatting. If you'd like to learn a little bit about me, here's my website. And then to have it so that on your website, there is a video presentation that automatically plays that is perhaps it's you're driving them to a specific landing page, not necessarily your homepage. But the landing page is, I hope you love this book as much as I love it. Here's who I am, and here's why this book resonates with me. So you're starting to tell a story. You're starting to build a relationship. You're beginning with a gift. You're beginning with an outreach. And instead of spending $1,000 a month on somebody trying to do social media for you, you're just trying to be very narrow and specific in who you're targeting. But you have a plan of action that for that same $1,000 could be a more effective way of differentiating yourself. And the book is a wonderful, wonderful way of building those connections and those relationships. I've used this kind of technique in being able to reach out to people when I worked in the wine industry. It's a long story, but the short version of it is the company was trying to introduce ourselves to 200 marketing professionals who didn't know our company really well. And we wanted to build a relationship so they would come to some live events that we were going to create in Napa. So we sent a copy of this amazing book called Different by a woman who teaches at Harvard. And her book was just a perfect representation of the values and beliefs that we had as a company about differentiation. And we sent it out. We drove people to our website. We built relationships. And then over a 5-year period, I would say more than half of those people came every 6 months to our event and got to spend 8 hours that day with them in a wonderful environment. Now, you know, it's a bigger business, different issues that we were facing, but nobody was doing what we were doing. It was unique to us, but it was consistent with our own values. To your point about websites and LinkedIn, sure, you want to have a personal human story. You don't want to be bureaucratic. You do want to tell about the things that really are exciting and important to you, your work with Rotary or community service, your time in the Peace Corps, your military experience, whatever your life story is, because people want to do business with people that they like and they get to know.
I couldn't agree with you more. And it's a perfect segue into the next area that I want to talk about. You know, everyone wants to jump on social media, and for good reason. You got to have a presence in today's world. However, I think a mistake some people make is that then they abandon all other traditional forms of marketing. I mean, so my question to you is, does this mean, you know, should someone just spend all their money in one basket and abandon other traditional forms of marketing that have been effective and around forever, such as mailers and telemarketing, you know, the old broadcasting versus narrowcasting, right?
Again, I think depending on the resources you have and how many people are involved in your business, I imagine many of your business, the people who are listening are solopreneurs who own the business and they don't have a lot of staff. I mean, time is the limiter. You have a limited amount of time in each and every day, so you can't do everything. You have to focus on a few things that are going to help. But these are the things that I know to be true and most valuable. I'm always recommending to people that if they have a network of people that they're connected to on LinkedIn, they should be calling and connecting with those people regularly. They should be building connection and relationship with them. Because if you're connected with somebody, let's say you worked with 7 or 8 years ago, and they learn about what you're doing, and they ask, how can I be helpful to you? You then have a sort of a network node of somebody who can be a receptor listening to hear if they're business owners that they meet, that they could introduce you to. And so spending your time on connecting and networking in a human one-on-one way to people who already know you is a great starting point, because your next client is not going to come from someone that you know, but somebody that they know. It's usually one step away. It's just like finding a job. Most people find a job not from the friend that they worked with 8 years ago, but the person who they know who works at a company where there's a position and you're right for it. So I agree with you that you have to be doing other things besides, just sort of one trick pony type of activities. But you're limited in your time and what you can do. Give you another illustration to talk about old school techniques. I'm a huge fan of handwritten notes and buying a greeting card, or producing your own card, but just buying a greeting card with a really lovely message on it, with a handwritten note sent to a business owner that tells a personal story in a brief couple of sentences. I mean, to me, you know, a typical inbox is going to have 350 emails a day. How many greeting cards are going to show up at your client's office?
That goes back to what we said earlier, differentiating yourself from the competition, right? Now everyone is doing one thing. Maybe it's effective to do something a little differently to still get in front of them.
Right. And your competition is not other business brokers. It's everybody who wants a piece of that CEO or owner's time. It's really attention that's the most valuable thing. So how do you get the attention of somebody? What would happen if you had clients who you had identified as targets that you want to get to know, and you could bring lunch into for them for one day, or you could arrange for a food truck to show up outside their door? I mean, I'm a big fan of experimenting and trying and testing things that both work for you and that fit with you and your personality and who you are, and that are unique and distinctive. I'll give you a nice example of that I do for my own business. So my younger daughter, Fanny, won Rachel Ray's Great American Cookbook Competition about 4 years ago. Rachel published her cookbook. She's been a guest on her show. She's been on Food Network, Cooking Channel, different shows. So I have this wonderful cookbook of hers, And when I meet a new client, I give them an autographed copy of the cookbook because it's all the stories of her growing up and cooking with me. I'm an avid cook. I love to cook. And only I can come into a client and hand deliver to them this message, this story, this, you know, all the richness that's in the book about her growing up and learning to love food and cook and food preparation. It's distinctive to me. And what does it cost me to give away a $10 book? But it's worth so much more. And how do you find that for yourself? You know, what is it that you have that that others won't have and that will be memorable? I'm not sure if you're familiar with the marketing. Another marketing guy, his name is Jay Baer, and he wrote a book called Talk Triggers. And the essence of the book is, how do you do something that's going to enable word of mouth? That's something that nobody else is going to do. And he tells the story in the book and on his podcast of example after example of people doing things that no one else was doing. So he talked about an oral surgeon who had 100 different oral surgeons within a 20-mile radius of his office in northern Jersey. And what did he do differently? He personally called each of his clients who were new patients coming in for the first time to allay their fears the weekend or week before they were going to come in for a visit. Now, it took a lot of his effort, but people came in and they had a connection and built a relationship, and they would tell that story. And so in example after example, how do you do something that is different, memorable, and that somebody is going to share with somebody else and pass along through word of mouth? And I think that's the framework about marketing that you want to think. I think social media becomes an amplifier of that activity. It's a place where you can expand on and tell that story more broadly. It's also a place where you can be enormously helpful. You know, why not start a TV channel on YouTube that is 5-minute tips for business owners about how to get ready to sell your business? You know, and you can be driving people to go there and they get to know you over time. You know, today the platforms and the abilities are all out there. They should fit with you and your personality and what you're good at. So maybe you're not a writer and blogging isn't right for you, but maybe you love podcasting, maybe a YouTube channel, maybe, you know, there's a million different things. And I think you just have, it just has to feel authentic. It shouldn't be somebody else's approach to it.
Jeff, I have about 10 more questions for you, but I only have time for one more, so I'm going to touch on that. But before I do that, congratulations. You know, great job, especially, you know, with your daughter. I can hear how proud you are of that. I'm a father, and I have a daughter myself, and I can only imagine how when you hand that book that's, you know, autographed and it's from your daughter, that the sense of pride you must have. So, you know, congratulations. That must be a great feeling.
Thank you. Thank you. Wait till I tell you about my other daughter and my grandson, but I'll save that for the next time.
We'll save that for the next podcast. That's great. So last question that I have for you, again, it's very, very important. Everyone wants to, you know when someone's looking for a business broker that they're going to Google it or they're going to ask Siri or whatever else they're going to do. But if someone wants to have a strong presence or a strong Google presence and they have a specific budget or a tight budget, how do they determine what to spend on pay-per-click campaigns, which can be costly, bring you to the top of the page and maybe some immediate results, versus SEO, search engine optimization, which can take quite a bit of time, but could get you to the top of the search pages organically?
I think it's really a question of what kind of money you have available to spend for something paid versus building something organic. So let me explain what I mean. You know, it probably takes me 8 hours a week to write 3 blog posts and create that content on my website so that when people are searching for a small business marketing consultant, you know, I'm going to show up in my area. People are going to find me fairly easily. But I made that something that I was willing to do, wanted to do, was important to me. Now, a shortcut would be paid search, where you buy a series of words and you work with an expert in pay-per-click who can help make sure that you're getting the most out of a campaign. And you can immediately get thousands of impressions of people who, when they are thinking about selling a business or they have a question about it and they're Googling it, your ad is going to show up. Now, the quality of those inquiries versus the quality of the inquiries that come from search are going to be dependent upon your how competitive it is, how many other people are doing search versus building content themselves. You know, they're so dependent on the industry, and it's so dependent on your budget. And so, you know, I have two clients who have recently been doing they're in B2B, and they have done pay-per-click campaigns. And one of them has been enormously successful at driving traffic. It's taken us a good year to refine the words and make the investment. But we've gotten to the point where we're driving really good leads to our sales team. With the other business, we've just begun and we're just starting to do that. But they know that it's valuable because people are thinking about their topic of what their business does, but it's super competitive. And the cost to buy those, you know, to get up to the top of the list is very expensive because it's a very competitive category. So, you know, the more competitive the category, the deeper your pockets needs to be. And, you know, again, you have to think in terms of the math. How many leads do you need to have? What's the value of a lead? How many leads do you need to close one? And what does it what's the cost per acquisition of a client worth to you? You know, in some businesses, they may have $100,000 is a typical sale. So they're willing to spend $10,000 to get a client. In another business, you may have a $500 sale. And you may only be willing to spend $3 or $4 or $10. So the dynamics of each market and industry will vary. I would think that for business brokers, and again, depending on the region and the markets that you're going after, these tend to be smaller businesses, I imagine. And so it's maybe a fairly large universe. But how do you refine the target and say, what's the most cost-effective way to get to this group of 100 or 500 people? And I probably would be doing things that are more reflective of me as a person, like the book idea or the greeting card idea or bringing lunch or finding a way to do something different that no one else is doing and see what the investment is, test it, try it with 10 or 20 clients. See what kind of response you get. See if it gives you what you think is the right direction to take it to the next level. But you got to start. You got to try things. You can't sit back and wait for the phone to ring. You've got to connect into the community and learn what is it that those people you're trying to reach are trying to achieve, and how can you help and enable them to achieve their goals so that they can successfully do what they're looking to do and the story that they want to tell.
Jeff, I absolutely agree with you on that. I teach courses for the IBBA and I say things that are so that are very similar to that. And I think they're invaluable. I mean, you could talk about marketing and I could talk to you for another 2 hours, but unfortunately we just don't have it. But thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your thoughts and expertise on this matter. I know there's so much more we could talk about. I'd like to have you on again. I mean, you certainly gave us a lot to consider when it comes to marketing. You know, it's not all just marketing in a box, and there's lots of different things we could do and that we should be doing. But if someone's listening today and they have more questions of you or they're in need of your services, what is the best way for them to contact you?
So if you go to themarketingsage.com, there's free content there 3 times a week. You can, if you subscribe, then you'll get it delivered in your email. You can also get a free copy of my book in a PDF form, Unraveling the Mysteries of Marketing. I think the blog posts coming to you regularly will give you 1,000 ideas. About ways other businesses are marketing themselves. And I tend to write about, you know, really disruptive and innovative businesses and doing things that others aren't doing. Also, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn at Jeffrey Slater. It's easy to find me. There's only a few Jeffrey Slaters there, and connect with me that way on LinkedIn. And I repost quite a lot of things there. And feel free to just email me, and all that contact information is at themarketingsage.com. And I'm happy to talk to people. One of my passions is to be able to mentor and advise and help people. And not everybody is going to become a client, and I'm not looking for that. My plate is pretty full right now. But if I can be helpful or point people in the right place, I'm just delighted to do that. And if you're looking for a great cookbook, I can give you advice on that too.
No, that's great. Again, thank you so much and wish you continued success and God bless. And, you know, thank you. I mean, the information was certainly invaluable.
Thanks so much. I really appreciate your asking me to join you.
No, you're welcome. You're welcome. So I certainly hope every one of you that listen today enjoyed today's episode. We're going to continue to strive to bring you informative topics that are going to help you in your day-to-day business and in life. You know, if you enjoy our show, we encourage you to share it on all your social media platforms with your friends, your family, your clients, as it'll be a valuable resource to your coworkers, your clients, and everyone. Really, we bring really great topics to you and great individuals that share their life experiences. For more information on our show, please visit us at ibba.org. Again, thanks a lot again for listening today. I'm your host, Chris Diglio, and I look forward to talking with you again on the next episode